At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omar Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us, and welcome to our third quarter conference call. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer, and Gaytan Barasa, our Chief Operating Officer. Before we get started, I'd like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as a reconciliation to IFRS measures, we direct you to our news release, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. I'll now turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions. Murad?
Thank you, Omar. Welcome to our third quarter 2011 conference call. Over the past number of quarters, we've been reporting difficult conditions, timing issues, dramatic weather events that have resulted in difficult conditions and lower than expected sales volumes for AGT. It's been a difficult period. However, we saw corrections beginning in the first half of 2011 fiscal year, with the restarting and resumption of some buying by international customers to begin the process of replenishing local market stocks that we believe have been low or depleted for some time. Harvest in North America has now been completed. We would categorize the results, generally speaking, as good. A return to normalized production levels and quality, the global pulse markets have come to expect from North America, specifically Canada. A significant quantity of lentils and pulses at harvest, the second highest lentil figure in Canadian history, is now in the bins, and growers all over Western Canada and the Northern Plain states are marketing their pulses. With the supply side fundamentals in North America and other regions improving, with ample stocks available from production, there remains a sense that global demand is materializing, perhaps slower than expected, in part due to global economic uncertainty. A percentage of global consumers are opting to take a cautious approach to stocking inventory, which tends to back up and defer demand. An expected return to normalized buying in many regional markets, which is viewed by management as the start of the replenishment of long-standing depleted local market stocks, is expected to materialize in 2012. The resetting of buying patterns in quarter three, as the world lentil markets annually recalibrate price expectations and strategies for buying as a result of the Canadian crop data, harvest reports from India and Turkey, coupled with the end of Ramadan, and a positive view of supply from North America, is expected by AGT management to result in a resumption of sales and margin opportunities in 2012 for AGT. Banking and the financial liquidity of customers continues to be a source of uncertainty in the world. While agricultural supply and demand fundamentals are relatively immune to short-term macroeconomic events, the uncertainty has contributed to volatility of non-commercial traders have substantially lowered their positions in commodity markets. Management is hopeful that delays in product purchase decisions will be temporary as markets need to replenish these stock levels due to the staple nature of the products that AGT sells. I'm happy to report, though, that even in these difficult environments, in this quarter we reported sales of $190.6 million, adjusted EBITDA of $15.03 million, and adjusted net earnings of $10.5 million. Our complete third quarter 2011 financial results are available on SEDAR or from our website at www.alliancegrain.com. We continue to view our strategy as the correct path for our company and the growth we have forecasted in our business. We held steadfast to this belief in the periods where global conditions were affecting our ability to execute our strategies and therefore affecting our earnings. We continue to hold these beliefs now, as we see conditions turning more positive than they have in the past quarters. In many ways, these results are the beginning of what we have expected for our company all along, since a transformational acquisition of Arbel in 2009, when we began on the plans for expansion and growth we find ourselves in today. It has taken a bit longer, 2 years, to begin to see the positive movement of the results we always expected. But we believe we're on the right path with the right strategy, and we'll continue as we have to grow, expand, and diversify our business. I would like to share with you some of the positive indicators we've identified that we believe will assist us with the necessary conditions for our continued positive growth. First, are the estimated stable production numbers and growing export statistics we see from many origins. As a processor and merchandiser of agricultural products, availability of raw material is one of the most important components to being able to successfully drive and maintain utilization of our assets, which ultimately results in earnings contributions. In the past quarters, where quality or quantity of product have been compromised for whatever reason, we have shown an ability to deliver processing through our assets while preserving margins. While this contributes to earnings, these types of activities are not optimal use of our assets. Conditions as we currently see them in North America and looking forward to Australia are the environment where our company and the assets we have will truly shine. Export numbers reported through quarter three by a number of outlets and a number of origins appear to support our belief. International buyers are starting to replenish their stocks. They're accepting positively the quality and prices that are being offered in the marketplace for new stocks of pulses and staple foods. We have stated many times that the quality issues in the past periods caused uncertainty with regards to price and product. That was a major factor in the slow buying trends of international buyers. We believe market stocks have been depleted for some time with hand-to-mouth buying to keep levels there. The export numbers can be seen as a positive trend in the correction of this. Of course, again, the global economic uncertainty continues to be a source of concern for AGT and other companies in all sectors. These factors affect all industries and all companies in all sectors. This is not an AGT-specific problem. In fact, companies like AGT may provide shareholders with a level of insulation with what may be tumultuous economic times coming in the next quarters. Turkey and India, both major production and consumption markets, are important components to the expected normalization of our business. Both countries can produce a lot, they consume a lot, and both are seen as local geographic regions as important supply points for food and agricultural products. Besides being major markets for AGT, we see them as important locales from a business standpoint for processing, warehousing, and distribution. Our presence and commitment in Turkey is clear. The Arbel facilities in Mersin and Edirne provide us with unique and strategically located assets from which to produce, process, package, and export our pulses and staple food products. We've expanded and streamlined these facilities with an eye towards increased capacity utilization of these facilities, but also for the expansion of business lines like the successful Arbel pasta business, sold now to over 65 countries around the globe, and growing domestic and regional rice business with the addition of our new mill. As our business in Turkey is an example of how strategies are interconnected, Turkey is not producing enough pulses for its domestic and regional markets. Generally, this would be seen as bad news. For AGT, though, through its North American and Australian operations, we have access to ample supplies of lentils, peas, chickpeas, and beans. And by utilizing these facilities, including our free zone warehouses, we import, reprocess, re-export, and we have potential to capture sales opportunities and margins available in that region. These types of activities and infrastructure, like we have in Turkey, are viewed by AGT as a model for how we will enter and position ourselves in markets where there is significant production and consumption, like India. These markets are physical goods markets where domestic levels can rise rapidly. We've seen this happen in Turkey. We've seen this happen in India. And having a mechanism to manage those fluctuations by importing when required gives us immeasurable benefit in the global marketplace to maximize the value of our products at any time. We've been an acquisition-focused company. We felt in the past and continue that we have to be ready for peak periods, particularly after harvest. At these periods, supply and demand are high. Processor must be able to run maximum capacity to be able to capture the opportunities that exist. The important point here is we've been very successful in integrating these acquisitions into our global system. It should be noted that while people view us as acquisition focused company, we are still very conservative when it comes to deploying capital. We will not spend money just to acquire assets. We have metrics we follow. All acquisitions must, first of all, meet these metrics. And once these metrics are met, an acquisition must fit in as a part of a strategy and interconnect with the other operations of AGT. Then it becomes a matter of streamlining, capturing margin that are already there and creating new opportunities for the assets to grow. We have done this many times, acquisitions large and small, and will continue to do this as opportunities appear. We've identified opportunities further up the value chain for our products. We feel this will have a very big opportunity for us as we continue to move down the chain. An example of this is Australia is becoming a key production region for AGT. In the period between harvest in North America and Turkey, it has key freight advantages to the massive Indian subcontinent market, good product offerings for North Africa, and it grows products that are in demand in those markets, providing opportunities for our business globally. Multiple well-equipped and geographically spread facilities in key growing areas have always been a part of our strategy. That's what we're doing in Australia, and that's what we continue to focus on with our recently announced acquisition in Minot, North Dakota, and with our announcement of expansion into the durum wheat milling and processing in Canada. With domestic opportunities for the production of pasta in Canada and the sale of pasta into the Canadian, U.S. markets, the Americas, and Western Europe, the elements of this project have the potential to be extremely positive for AGT's pasta export business to have another export origin point. This, coupled with the new markets for packaged pulses, food ingredients, pulse fractions, like pulse flours, protein starches, and fibers, as well as food service industrial uses for these products, will create significant opportunities for us going forward. There will certainly be challenges in our business. However, we monitor them, we minimize the risk, and we maximize our opportunity. In conclusion, I'd like to state, we expect our business to remain strong over the coming periods. As we've indicated in the past, our position in markets is strong, our facilities are well positioned, and we will capitalize on new opportunities as we see them emerging. I'd now like to turn the things back over to Omar and begin the Q&A portion. Omar?
Thanks, Brad. Operator, I think we'll take the first question.
Certainly, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for response to all questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Our first question today comes from Robert Winslow of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robert.
Murad, could you maybe elaborate for us on the gross margin in the quarter, what it looked like on a per-ton basis, and perhaps how it compared to a year ago?
Well, Robert, we've for the first time given you, as promised, some metrics of the total tons invoiced, you know, from quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. And so if we look at our gross profits per metric ton, so gross profit divided by the total number of tons invoiced, we see a trend. Quarter one was about $85, quarter two around $74, quarter three over $90. So we've seen, you know, an improvement in our gross margin per metric ton. We expect to, you know, see that trend, you know, continuing with the stabilization of the quality of the product. And, you know, when we're trying to force product into markets as a result of uncertainty on the quality, you know, we certainly have more of a buyer's market than a seller's market. And so from that perspective, margins can come under a bit of pressure. So I think it's a positive trend of margins. It's a bit of a product mix thing, too. I mean, over time, with the introduction of more products out of Australia and more end-use distribution
type activities, you know, we're trying to
diversify our offerings, which give us more of a chance to meet those gross margin targets.
And that's an all-in number, right? That includes pasta and everything.
Yeah, that would be. But, you know, remember, Robert, when you're modeling, or you guys have been modeling in the past as analysts, you know, you've been targeting not just a gross profit, but some of those costs are actually up above in the cost of sales side. So, you know, we would have a number of our, you know,
sales-related costs, plant expenses, maintenance capex expenses are all up above the line. And so, you know, over time, you'll start to track the trend, and I think you'll see, you know, a very stable, you know, forward possibilities.
Okay, I know I'm only getting one question, but I just want to follow up on this. What those margins, what did they look like back in the last boom cycle, like 2 years ago? What, how high did you get per ton?
You know, Robert, we don't give a margin per ton guidance figure, but, you know, certainly margins have been, you know, under pressure, there's no doubt. And, you know, we see more positive times ahead in 2012. You know, 2010, as a result of the crop disruption in terms of quality, and 2011, leading up to the resolution of the 2010 issues, margins have been under a tremendous amount of pressure. So, you know, we see our ability to deliver results in this type of environment. If you compare us to our peers, you know, in the ag sector, a number of companies have been talking about how processing margins have been under a tremendous amount of pressure. I think we've shown the diversification of our assets and our offerings to maintain a pretty good result, even in very difficult times.
Well, did you get over $100 a ton about 2 years ago?
We don't give that guidance, Robert. I can't give you any more than what we've
said. Thanks.
All right.
The next question comes from Max Vishnikov of Octagon Capital. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Congrats on a good quarter. Actually, one follow-up question on what Robert was saying. Can you actually maybe quantify the positive jump on the top line of this $190 million? Would that came primarily from the volume or from the price increases?
Yeah, I mean, sales, you know, are really, you know, as a result of, you know, mostly the price increase. As you can see, you know, that the tonnage, you know, was a part of that. Obviously, the total invoice tons are higher. It's a bit of a mix of both, Max. I think that, you know, if you look, we gave you tonnage invoiced in quarter two was 227,000. Tonnage in the third quarter was 282,000. So it's a mix of both. Commodity prices have been relatively stable, so we haven't, you know, seen that be the big effect. It's a bit more volume.
Mm-hmm. Got it. And my question is basically, can you give us maybe a little bit more color on the crop quality you see in Australia? There's been widespread reports about rains and how it might actually downgrade the quality.
I have to be honest, we're not seeing reports of rains. You know, South Australia harvest is underway. We're receiving into our warehousing program. We call it Grain Bank. So that's our warehousing program in South Australia that we're offering to the pulse sector. It's been very well received. Receivals into our new South Wales operation. We're in, you know, full receival and shipment mode there. And we're seeing quality coming off well. In fact, even in Victoria, which is usually a bit later, they're starting to take some product off. I think we may have received our first receivables yesterday, or we're expecting them yesterday or today. So, Max, we haven't seen that. We've seen good volume, good yield, good quality, and I mean, certainly going to be less than last year in some of the other crops, but I think when you look at the mix of pulses overall in our facilities, we're going to be in a good position.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from Anup Prihar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just want to start by asking a couple of questions on the cash flow statement, I guess, for Lori. Under the operating activities, interest paid, you've got this use of cash of about $7.3 million, and income taxes paid $6.1 million. What does that relate to?
This is actually a new requirement under IFRS. In the past, you would have noticed those two line items at the bottom of the cash flow statement just as a note. But under IFRS, we're required to put them up into operating activities, and they come out of other non-cash working capital items.
So how does that relate to, what does that relate to on the income statement then?
Well, it's the actual cash outflow of interest paid. So on the income statement, you'll see, for example, interest expense, which will also include accruals for interest. But this is actual interest paid and actual income taxes paid.
Actual cash amounts, Anu.
Okay. And then down under the investing, you've got an increase in long-term receivables. Why is that not a working capital item?
Again, it's an IFRS requirement. Long-term receivables are required to be down in investing activities.
Okay, I just wanted to understand that. And then, Murad, just coming back to your balance sheet for a sec, I mean, your net debt increased by about $50 million on a sequential basis. I know you say in your MD&A that you're compliant with all your covenants, but I got to think you're getting tight on a couple of these measures.
You know what, Noob? We've got no issues on any of our covenants. You know, because of the strength of our balance sheet and the strength of our equity and the fact that, you know, we have an ability to margin our current assets, I mean, you know, we're not long-term stockholders. We have a very large book of business now and a very wide product base. So inventory is viewed, because we're a market leader, as, you know, it's non-perishable inventory that can be easily moved into multiple markets. We get high margin on our inventory, high margin on our receivables as a result of our global coverage of all of our receivables with Canadian Export-Import Bank, EDC. And so as a result of that, with a borrowing based facility, you know, we're not feeling any tightness. In fact, you know, we've been quite vocal to say that, you know, we'll be looking at the consolidation of our global credits, increasing the size of our available credits to be able to, you know, fund the growth of our capital projects announced and to fund the continued growth of our activities in the world. So, yeah, there's no issue in terms of getting close to covenants, Sanu.
Okay, then. In the MD&A, you say you've got $222 million of operating lines. I just want to be clear. Is that your total capacity, or is that just what's available?
That's right now, that's our total capacity.
And how much of that is available?
It would be the difference between that and the 165 on the balance sheet.
Yeah, so we've got about $60 million unutilized right now. Now, Anoop, you'll see that that has actually come down from what we'd reported, let's say, a few quarters ago. And that's all a part of the global financing strategy that we're working on right now in terms of, you know, the elimination of non-favorable Turkish credit lines. You know, for us, there's no reason to have credit lines on the side that have high interest rates with conditions that we're not going to utilize. So we've cut all of those lines, and we've basically focused on banks that we feel we can have a broader relationship with. So very diverse group of lenders, and a very, if you look at now, you know, with processing plants and operations in five continents, we have a number of relationships with very large international banks.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The next question comes from Jim Smalley of CKRM Radio Regina. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, Murad, on your improved third quarter results. Mine is a very basic two-pronged question, and of course it's for my farm audience, so if you'd provide a good background that way. The first part of the question is, what are the factors behind the improved profit in the third quarter and the outlook in 2012 for Prairie Farmers?
Jim, you know, I think that if you look at the, you know, improvement in our earnings, I think you're seeing the benefits of our diversification strategy. I mean, you know, certainly, you know, we've had positive contributions from our U.S., Australian, and Turkish operations. And, you know, the Western Canadian side has been a very, you know, significant challenge over the last number of quarters as a result of tough quality from last year, the cleanup of that, and, you know, those types of issues. So, you know, I think that overall you're just seeing a good product mix, a good reach into the world markets, and an ability for us to put it all together and to make money doing it. So, you know, positive opportunity for farmers. In terms of the 2012 outlook, we have a lot of crop in the bins right now. You know, there's a bit of a headwind as a result of global economic issues, liquidity of importers around the world. But, you know, I always say, if you take it as an index, discretionary goods will face a headwind that's very hard to overcome. Staple food products like pulses and pasta and rice, these are items that are consumed daily. We believe that the liquidity issues will be short term, and we believe that there will be a resumption of regular demand because people consume these things daily. They're not discretionary items. So I see there being a really positive outlook for Western Canadian farmers going forward, Jim.
Fantastic. Thank you, Murad.
The next question comes from Christine Healy of Scotia Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Hi, guys.
Hi,
Christine.
Murad, I'm hoping you can give us some more color on how Q4 has been going to date. Have you seen an increase in demand slash plant utilization following the new crop in North America? And maybe give us a sense for if MENAs continue to be the dominant buyer or if you've seen increased interest from the Indian subcontinent. Thanks.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, ultimately we're about halfway through quarter four. I think we can say that, you know, demand has continued, you know, at levels that we saw late in the quarter three that we've just reported. And, you know, the main buying regions have been Middle East, North Africa. And, you know, and I mean, we continue to sell into other regions as well. Indian subcontinent has not, you know, really come into the fold in a big way right now. You know, I think that if we want to take a look at that, you know, there's certainly a bit of color that we might be able to give you on that. Maybe I'll ask Gaetan just to give a couple of quick comments on the Indian sub and how we see that potentially playing out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Indian sub, you know, is very important. I guess a lot of people focus on India. And today what we're seeing is some recent government tendering, which is a good sign. And the recent three or four government tenders have been on Desi chickpeas, which we're very active in out of Australia with our new assets. So we're optimistic about what that will do with that capacity. On lentils, we're getting reports of, you know, potential drops of, you know, 40% on planting. You know, they're reporting their pulse acres up, but lentils specifically with the world situation, there could be, they're under serious pressure. So, yeah, we're very optimistic with that. So,
I mean, Christine, the other problem with India, of course, is just the reliability of statistics, right? We're all, you know, sitting back. Government has a view related to, you know, food inflation. So they talk about the positives of you know, overall acreage. But, you know, there's a lot of factors, yield, plantings. We've seen this pressure all over the world. I mean, if you look at Western Canadian plantings last year, they were down because of cereals and oil seeds. You know, it's no different in India. Cereals and oil seeds have been very strong. We're expecting that to have an effect on acreage in 2012, and we're expecting that to be a positive fundamental. As Gaetan said too, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Sri Lanka are big parts of our business as well. So, you know, we have optimism that with the Australian crop situation being a little more clear, you know, Australia looks great, but it's not going to change the world. And I think that's what the Indian sub was waiting for, is to see whether Australia would change the world positively or negatively. I think it's just good, stable supply, good quality there. I think that'll help to resume the world demand.
So these government tenders have just been over the last couple of weeks then? So this is just, you're seeing some recent activity and that's giving you hope?
Yeah, it certainly does.
Okay.
Yeah, just over the last 10 days, there's been, I think, three or four of the agencies, for sure three, that have...
Okay. Great. Thanks, Gaetan and Murad. Appreciate it.
That's a positive sign, anyway.
Once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question comes from David Pupo of Macquarie. Please go ahead.
Morning, guys. Does the total tons invoice include the bulk shipments through Thunder Bay?
And David, if it's shipped into our own system in the world, it would be eliminated and it would only be an inventory transfer. If it was sold to a buyer, it's invoiced. So, you know, the vessels that were shipped, if you're asking specifically about our bulk conventional vessels, the two we did out of Thunder Bay, those were partially sold, partially transferred. So only a portion of that would have been recognized in quarter three.
Cool. Can you explain that a little bit? I view that a little bit as a shift in strategy, because just in the second quarter you had quoted that if we view you as a bulk shipper, we clearly do not understand your business, but then you show up in the quarter shipping bulk.
Yeah, but you know what? There's one difference, David. We shipped cleaned, sized, gravity-graded, bulk conventional lentils into value-added processors. So we're not shipping non-commercially cleaned, you know, high foreign matter, unsized, shriveled, wrinkled, and damaged lentils to be processed halfway around the world. We don't think that's economically viable long term, and we don't think that the buyers of the world want that. So when we look at it, we merely used an efficient mode of transport to be able to actually ship in our own program. And so I think that's a very significant, you know, point of this. We're not a bulk shipper. we can use bulk conventional capacity to ship our processed lentils if the market freight conditions are right. And they were right in August, September. In October and November, we continued on with our container programs.
Okay. Can you give us, without getting too specific, obviously you can't, on the total tons invoice, give us a feeling what would have been shipped, what might have been shipped. Given the size of the top line, I might have expected a higher EBITDA margin percentage. Wondering if there's some low margin product in that 282,000 or 283,000 tons.
Certainly. There's. Listen, we were still, for quarter three, we really only received a couple of weeks of new crop. Right, so we were still working on, peas into Asia. We were still working on low-grade lentils into the world. And I can tell you, the closer you get to new crop, the more pressure you'd have on selling the old crop stocks, right? We're trying to clear it out. So, there's certainly an effect of that, in that. But remember, the bulk vessels are only a portion of what we ship. We are the largest container shipper in Western Canada in all sectors, and as a result of that, the bulk conventional is only a portion of the 282,000 tons shipped out of the world.
Yeah, okay, great, thanks.
The next question is a follow-up from Anup Prihar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Just back onto that question on the bulk, I was wondering if that just reflects the fact that we had such a large amount of crop coming in from last year that was less quality than has typically been the case. Is that really what you were doing there?
In terms of why we chose the bulk conventional method?
Correct.
No, I don't think that that's the deciding factor. The deciding factor is that bulk freight at the time with available terminal capacity in Thunder Bay was more economical than shipping out of Montreal. And as a result of that, we took the opportunity with a number of clients that accepted bulk conventional. I mean, you got to recognize, Anup, that an importer has to be of a very significant size to accept a bulk vessel quantity or even a partial bulk vessel of lentils. So, from that perspective, you're talking about financing, you're talking about storage capacity, you're talking about processing capacity. And I think that one of the things that people forget is this is not peas where you're talking about, a million and a half tons of import, so 50,000 ton units make sense. People are traditionally buying, 250, 500, or 1,000 tons. 1,000 tons would be a big order for a large importer. And so as a result, when you start talking about, a vessel of 22,000 tons being split even between three importers, that's 7,000 and change for each importer. That's a big quantity. So, I think that the quality didn't make the decision. The importers wanted the product quickly, and it was a combination of old crop, and there was actually the first available new crop was shipped on that second vessel. So we had one portion of it with number two or better new crop, which we wanted in the market quickly to ensure the world could see that the new crop was good quality.
It doesn't sound like you're doing anything.
I got to be honest, if they don't even believe us anymore in terms of the quality, because last year was so, I'm talking in general, the Canadian industry, because the quality was so variable that the world is a bit gun-shy. But, now we've proven it out. Lots of shipments have went. Everything's accepted, and I think things will be better in 2012.
It doesn't sound like you're doing any bulk in the fourth quarter. Is that a fair statement?
In the fourth quarter, there's no planned bulk shipments, and we'll look at the resumption of those activities. If the freight, if the buyers, and if the advantage exists, otherwise we believe segregation of quality, commercial cleaning, and ability to ship into the importer's cash flow is the competitive advantage of Alliance. So that will continue by container.
And just last question. In the MD&A, you talk about how you expect the Turkish production for lentils and chickpeas in 2012 to be lower than it was this year. Why are you saying that? What is it that's leading you to believe that?
I got to be honest. I think that we may have probably not been as clear as we need to be. We expect that acres could be down slightly, but production should be about stable. So, you know, I think acreage may take a little bit of a hit in Turkey again, just because of cereal grain acreage again. Cereals have been very positive all over the world. And so from that perspective, it's possible. But again, we reiterate, Anoop, that, you know, lower production in Turkey is not a bad thing for AGT.
No, I understand,
you know,
that.
Like, but we like to fill it up from Canada and Australia. And but we want ample supply to supply local market demand for Turkish product. Because, you know what, red lentils aren't red lentils in Turkey. There is a market for Turkish red. There's a market for Canadian red. There's a market for Australian red. And they're all distinct and separate markets.
Okay, so you don't really expect a drop in production. You're just talking about a drop in acreage.
Yeah, probably a small drop in acreage. And again, it's still a long ways away. Turkey is basically one step better than India in terms of reliable statistics. They're not really there. So we rely on people like the U.S. Ag Attaché in Ankara, you know, to release his or her report to give us a bit of insight from the ground. And, of course, we do our own market intelligence.
Okay, thanks.
And that brings us to the end of our questions. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. And I'd like to remind everyone that's still on the call that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you all for attending our conference call, and please have a good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.